Well, it's my privilege to introduce our speaker. Kind of makes me feel old. He said that when he was 14 years of age, he surrendered for the ministry at the Bill Rice Ranch under my preaching. And so, Tad, now you're 51 years old now. You know, you still look like a student. You really do. But Tad has been a youth pastor for 22 years, then pastored in Siler City, North Carolina, and then he's down near the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. I would think that as appreciation for his surrendering to preach under my ministry, he'd get me tickets to the Masters.
I don't
But Tad has been pastoring down there for 5 years, and a wonderful ministry, seeing people saved on a continuous basis, and we're privileged to have him speak to us this morning. Brother Tad, God bless you as you preach.
Thank you, Brother Comfort. Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? Good to see you. It will help me if you'll smile at me. Would you do that? And thank you for being here. What a joy. I'm honored to be here myself. And thank you, Brother Comfort. Am I turned on good there? Can you hear me well? And I'm honored to be here. I come to you from Clearwater, South Carolina, which is right near Augusta, Georgia. Our church is about 6 miles from downtown Augusta, but we're in South Carolina and some wonderful folks there. And this coming Sunday will be my fifth anniversary there at Lakeside. And Brother Comfort mentioned I was a youth pastor, had the honor to be a youth pastor for 21 years, and then pastored two churches now for the last 9 years, one in Siler City. Does anybody know where Siler City, North Carolina is? Several of you. Good. That's where I was, and I loved it. And then God put us there in Clearwater. I'm excited to be here. I've got my son with me this morning. Tyler, would you stand up, please? This is my son, Tyler. He's 10 years of age. He'll be 11 this fall. And good to have Tyler here with a couple folks from my church here, Mike and Lori. I didn't even realize until just the other day, Matt Killensworth. Matt, you're graduating, right? They're going to actually let you graduate from right here. Is that correct? And I remember Matt when he was a young boy. The family moved there to my church where I was a youth pastor there for years. And I've known them for a long time, and it's good to kind of be reunited with them. And there'll be some folks from my church here tonight. If you see some folks coming up and from my church, I know that you'll greet them. They're excited about being here. And it's a joy to be here with Brother Comfort and Brother Bill. And when I was a 14-year-old boy at the Bill Rice Ranch, God called me to preach under Brother Comfort's preaching, under his ministry there. And then over the years to see the school started, I remember when the school started. And I remember the other location there on South Post Road in Shelby. I remember all of that and how the Lord worked all that out. And then get to know Brother Bill. I remember when Brother Bill was a student. And now to see how God's using him here in a wonderful way. It's a joy just to know God's people, isn't it? You're glad you're here. Say amen.
Amen.
Good, good. And I trust God will do something in each of our hearts. Where are the graduating seniors? Could I see your hands, please? My goodness, look all over the place. And I understand the number may be going to the mission field or into some type of mission work and in the ministry. That's exciting. That's my heart. And I've had the privilege over the years to go to a number of countries and preach and take trips to mission fields and that's our heart. Our church this year has had the privilege already to take on 9 new missionary families in the first 4 months of the year. So we're passionate about that. We're excited about that. So I commend you for what you're doing and praise the Lord for it. And I'm the one that's least worthy to be here in this place this morning. I'm just honored to be here, and I just thank God for what He's doing here at Ambassador Baptist College. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And so Hebrews chapter 11. I'll ask you to stand in just a moment for the reading of God's Word, but I'm glad you got your Bible. That's what everything's focused on here, is the Lord Jesus and His Word. And we're excited about that. And so thank you for having your Bibles ready. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 11. And I want God to speak to us from verse number 8 on. A few verses we'll skip around a little bit this morning, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Skip on down if you would please, verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. I want God to speak to us this morning on something I'm sure you're very familiar with. I don't know that I'm going to teach you anything or give you insight on anything that you don't may not already know about Abraham. But I want God to speak to us about the matter of faith. You're going to embark on a life of faith. And for some, I'm sure you've already began that journey. And I'm going to ask God to speak to us this morning and encourage us about the life of faith. Father, speak to us. We love you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for who you are. I pray, Lord, that in this special hour, in this moment, these few moments that we have together today, I pray that you'll challenge us. I thank you for these seniors, these graduates. And Lord, what an exciting time this is for them, I know, today and this evening, for their family and friends who perhaps will be enjoying this with them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll minister to each and every one of us. I'm a firm believer there's not an individual in this place this morning that's here by accident. We're here by your divine plan and purpose. And Lord, it's our prayer, it's our desire that none of us would leave here today until you have fulfilled in our heart the purpose for which you brought us here. We thank you and praise you. Minister, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question this morning, and before you answer it very quickly in your mind, because I know many of us would answer a question like this sometimes without any hesitation. But I want to ask you a question, and I just want you to dwell on it just for a moment. Because I'm thinking of our seniors, and I'm thinking of our graduates here this morning. And I'm thinking of those who just a year or two away, you'll also be graduating, Lord willing. And I'm thinking about people in the ministry in general and the opportunity and the pleasure and the joy that it is of ours to be able to serve the Lord. And what a joy it is. That's why you're here. That's why God brought you to Ambassador Baptist College. And you're not here to play, and this is not a game to you, and you're not spinning your wheels or wasting your time. God's placed you here for training. And this training, Lord willing, is going to enable you to begin a journey of faith. And a life of faith. I must confess to you, when I was graduating from Bible college, I really knew nothing of a life of faith. I really did not fully comprehend exactly what I would be facing in the ministry. And I'm not suggesting to you by any means this morning that I have arrived and I know it all. Far be it from God is still teaching me and God is still training me. And what a joy it is for God to be able to speak to you and for God to be able to deal with you and for God to be able to meet your needs and for God to be able to talk with you and walk with you. What a joy that is. And I haven't arrived by any means. I've gone through some circumstances in my life that I'm sure that some of you will one day understand. But God's been good to me. And God's been real to me. And I know that you would say, if you're graduating or if you're a freshman this morning, I know that you would also echo that God's been good to you. But I want to ask you a question. And the way that you sincerely answer this question really is a reflection of your faith in God. And the question is this, and I want you to dwell on it just for a moment. Would you do anything that God asked you to do? Now, I know very quickly most of us in our mind can answer that question, even in our hearts. Oh, of course, of course. Well, that's a noble thing to be able to answer a question that quickly. But now, just dwell on it just for a moment. Would you really do anything and everything that our God would ever ask you to do? And the way that you answer that, and the manner in which you answer that, really, again, is a reflection of the faith that you have in God. I mean, would you go We think about our graduates and missionaries in the mission field, or the pastorate, or ministry, or evangelism, or in Christian education, or wherever God may lead you to go. Would you go anywhere that God led you to go? Would you be anything that God asked you to be? Would you do anything that our God would ask you to do? Now think about that just for a moment. There's a man in the Word of God that we've read about here this morning. His name is Abraham, and you're very familiar with Abraham. I'm sure you've studied his life, and you've read of his life. But God had asked him to do some very unusual things. And if God were to ask you to do something, even if it were unusual, even if it were something that would cause you to hesitate just for a moment and think about it. God, are you sure about this? Are you sure about this, God? And yet, the Bible says on numerous occasions that Abraham obeyed. Now, you can choose to live life in two different directions. You can choose to live a life by sight. And of course, the Word of God tells us about faith, and it's the substance of things hoped for in verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. You can choose to live a life on things that you can handle and things that you can touch. You can choose to live a life by seeing things and by holding on to something and by feeling something, and having evidence and having concrete things, things that you can handle, things that you can touch, and things that you can see. And Lord, I've just got to see it. I just don't see that. I've just got to be able to see it. You can choose to live life that way if you wish. Or I believe that God desires for each of us to live a life by faith. And sometimes you just can't see it. And sometimes you may not be able to understand it. And sometimes you may not be able to grasp it. And sometimes you may wonder in your mind, God, is this really what you want? Lord, are you sure about this? Not that we're questioning God, but in our own hearts, maybe we have reservations. God, I don't see it. God, I don't understand it. And God, it just doesn't make sense to me. But God desires for each of us to trust Him. You do know what faith is, and I know this is elementary. But you do know what faith is. And I know sometimes we just give the definition, faith is believing God. And on the simple level, that's absolutely true. But in a fuller understanding, faith is not just believing God, but it's acting upon that belief, regardless of the consequences or the circumstances. Now, did you get that? Faith is acting upon, faith is believing God, and then acting upon that belief, regardless of the circumstances or the consequences. Now, first of all, I want you to notice in the Word of God this morning something very simple. This is not necessarily going to be anything earth-shattering, but I promise you it's something that God's dealt with me about. The first thing I want you to notice in the Word of God this morning about Abraham and faith, I want you to notice that God asked Abraham to do something impractical. Now, I want to say it this way. In your walk of faith with God, God may ask you to do something impractical. Now, think about Abraham just for a moment. The Word of God says here, look, if you will, in verse number 9 again, excuse me, verse number 8. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, by the way, he didn't know which place this was, which he should after receive for an inheritance. The Bible says he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. So you think about how impractical this really was. I mean, on the human level, it made absolutely no sense. I mean, you do understand when you go back to Genesis, and we won't take time to look there today, but you can study the life, obviously, of Abraham back in Genesis. And you can look at the chapters, and you can look at the stories, and the verses, and the words. And you understand that Abraham was a very rich man. Abraham was very well-to-do, living in Ur of the Chaldees, and obviously from a prominent family. And I think it would be safe to say that Abraham was entrenched. Abraham was settled. I mean, Abraham came from a family that had a lot, and he had servants, and there was land, and there was cattle, livestock, there were things. And I'm sure there were buildings, and I'm sure they were holding on to things, and they were settled. Abram and his wife Sarah, you know the names of their names changed later, you know that. But Abram and Sarah, now we know them as Abraham and Sarai, and so you understand that. But the Bible says that Abraham was rich. He had things and possessions, and I think it's just safe to say he was settled in. And there was a comfort there. And there was a certain level of just being at home there. And everything was fine there. And then God, and I think you even understand that perhaps there was idolatry in the family of Abraham and his father and so forth. But now the one true living God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham, I want you to leave. And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but God did not tell Abraham where to go. God just said, go. Now, can you imagine how perhaps on the human level, how Abraham would have processed that in his mind? All right, God wants me to go. Well, obviously, we study Abraham and we know about Abraham and the great life of faith. So we know that, as the Word of God says here and in Genesis, Abraham obeyed. But can you imagine what it was like for Abraham to go home and tell his wife? Can you imagine that? Sarah, I've got some news for you. Really, Abram, what have you got for me? I love it when you've got news. Is it something new, something exciting, something wonderful? Tell me, Abram, tell me. Well, he said, honey, we're going to be moving. We're going to be moving. And she said, wonderful, wonderful. I've been wanting a new house. I've been wanting a new place to live. I mean, we've got everything we need right here, but is it the new house across town? Is it the one up on the hill? What, you can just kind of imagine. I don't know exactly. I'm just thinking this through my little brain this morning. At some point, he would have had to have a conversation with his wife. Don't you know that? You men run that through your brain just for a minute this morning. You're going to tell your wife that you're moving, that you're leaving, and she says, Abraham, really, really, where are we going? And he says, I don't know. I don't know. And she says, Abraham, what do you mean you don't know where we're going? We're going somewhere, and I know you've got it planned. Don't keep it a secret from me, Abraham. I know you like to do secrets, and you like to surprise me, but I can't take the surprise. You've got to tell me. Well, you see, honey, God came and talked to me and told me that He wants us to move and pack up and leave. But, honey, I just want to let you know, really, truthfully, no surprises, no secrets. God did not tell me where to go. Now you think about that just for a moment. It's just human nature, men. If you've got a wife, some of you have one and some of you want one. It's human nature that you just kind of want to know things. You just kind of want to be able to see it. You kind of want to be able to put your hands on it. Kind of have a little evidence, so to speak. Then perhaps at some point he had to go down to the bank. Imagine that just for a moment. He had to go down to the first bank of whatever, and walk in, and probably not something that Abraham would normally do. He probably would have had his steward do that for him. So it was a big deal when Master Abram walked in the bank. Oh, Mr. Abram's here. Mr. Abram's here. Go get the president of the bank. I mean, this is a big occasion. He normally doesn't come by himself. He sends one of his servants. And here comes the president of the bank. Mr. Abram, what do we owe this pleasure today? You're coming down to the bank. And Abram says, well, I would just like for you to know, I want to make a withdrawal. And the president says, absolutely, no problem. You're one of our best customers, Abram. I mean, of course, what do you want? $100, $1,000? What do you want? You name it, Abram, 10,000. What do you want, Abram? We'll have it ready for you in just a moment. And Abram says, I want all of it. And the president just about faints just for a moment, you know. He said, now, wait a minute, Abram. What do you mean you want all of it? What do you mean you want all of it? He said, well, I'm moving. Oh, you're moving. Well, we have branches all over the Middle East. We'll simply just make a transfer. Tell me, Abram, where do you want us to transfer your savings? And Abraham says, I don't know. I don't know. And I imagine he looks at Abram and says, Abram, are you feeling okay? Now, that may be a little bit silly, and I'm okay with that thinking that way. But in some sense, all of these physical things on the human level had to work its way out, did it not? The telling of his wife and the packing of all of his belongings and his animals and the beast of burden and all of the relatives, and we understand later Lot and his father and all of this. All of it had to be organized and put together, and they had to pack up and get ready to leave town not knowing where they're going. Why, how impractical. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't compute. Don't you imagine neighbors came by, Abram, where are you going? Where are you at? Sarah, where are you going? I don't know. Abram won't tell me. I don't know. He says God told him to go, but we don't know where we're going. Well, Sarah, are you okay? Is Abram losing his mind? Can you imagine relatives and friends and business partners? What are you doing? Well, this God you said told you to do something. You realize at some point in your life, in your walk of faith, God, young people, God may ask you to do something that this world thinks is absolutely impractical. What a waste! What do you mean you're going to leave your family behind and go to the mission field? What do you mean? How can't you serve God here? Would it have been normal for Abraham? God, can't you use me right here? I've got all this stuff. I've got land here, and I've got a business here, and I've got servants here. God, can't you just leave me here? I could be so much more effective. God, if you just let me stay right here. And at some point in your life, God just may speak to you and ask you to do something impractical. To leave your family. To leave America. Or to leave your home church. Or to leave a place of comfort and ease. And to leave a place when people may think, are you okay? Are you okay? After 21 years of ministry, as a youth pastor, God spoke to me and told me He wanted me to pastor. And I can tell you all the events surrounding that. I'll be quite honest with you, for years I never desired to be a pastor. I didn't want those burdens and those problems. I was glad to lay those problems at the feet of somebody else. Absolutely. I loved being a youth pastor and taking kids roller skating and you know, all that was years ago. Hardly anybody roller skates today, but you know, I took kids on missions trips and bowling, and we had, you know, we took them out knocking on doors and soul winning and all this time. I loved it. I loved it. I saw myself as being a 75-year-old youth pastor. I'm not teasing you. Somebody else can be the pastor. I'll just lay the problems at their feet and I'll go on and have fun. But God spoke to me about being a pastor. And it was the last part of the year of 2003, almost 10 years ago now. And my wife and I, at the time, were married for 20 years at that time. We just had a little boy. He's the 10-year-old son that you see here this morning. At the time, he wasn't even 1 year of age. We had just built a brand new house, a brand new home in Asheville, North Carolina. Up on the side of a mountain in a gated community. And in my life, I never dreamed that I would ever even have anything like that. I'm not trying to be attached to things, but as a husband and as a man, to have that for my wife and my son, I was kind of excited about that. I'll be kind of honest. I'm not afraid to admit that to you. And we had just built the home barely 2 years ago. Brand new. I can honestly tell you it was our dream home. Everything I could have ever wanted at that point in my life, I had it there in that house. I was an assistant pastor of a church in Asheville and having a great time. And God said, I want you to pastor. And so I went into my pastor and I told him. And I said, Pastor, I'm going to be leaving. Now what I'm fixing to tell you, could I tell you as young men, young ladies, please, I'm going to tell you what God did for me. But please don't follow my example. Now, I'm not being silly. Please don't follow my example because I don't want to be responsible for you doing something just because I did it. And God, in other moves in my life, did not deal with me this way. I'll be quite honest with you, when I had gone from one ministry to another, I kind of already knew where I was going, where I was going to be living, what my ministry would be, and then I would resign and move to the next place. This had never happened to me. I'd heard this about people, and I thought, they're a little bit loony. I went into my pastor, and I said, Pastor, I'm going to be resigning from the church. By the way, there were no problems. He's still my friend today. Dear friend of mine. And I said, I'm going to be leaving. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to pastor. He said, I knew that was going to happen one day. I said, but Pastor, I've got to do it now. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. He said, have you preached at a church? And I said, no, sir, I've not. And I resigned that evening, actually, on Wednesday. Resigned Wednesday night from the church. My son was not even a year old. I had a brand new home, my dream home. And I've been a youth pastor for 21 years. I could have done it for years and been very, very, very comfortable. But you know what? God was asking me to do something that caused everyone around me to question, are you sure you're right about this? My dad's an evangelist and my hero, I love him, a great man of God. Perhaps he'll be here tonight. But he called me up and said, son, are you sure about this? I said, Dad, more than I can breathe, I promise you, this is what God had me to do. And for 3 months, I was without a ministry. And God put me in a church in Siler City, North Carolina, that I had never even heard of in my life. And I pastored that church for 4 years, and it's incredible what God did. It's incredible what God did. And I can promise you, in my step of faith, we never missed one deal. We never missed one meal. God took care of me and my family. I'm not suggesting that God will work in your life that way, but can I tell you, whatever that step of faith is, to go in the ministry, to go to the mission field, or to move, or whatever it is, it may not seem very practical. But I encourage you, step out on faith, would you please? You'll never, ever regret it. Then, there came another point in Abram's life, and there was a lot of ups and downs in Abram's life, and he certainly wasn't a perfect man. But there came another point, and just to make the long story short, you know when God visited them and said that, Abram, you and your wife are going to have a baby. Well, at the time when Abram first realized that, he was about 75 and his wife was about 65. And you know, long story short is, for about 24 more years there, they didn't have a child. About halfway through the process, Sarah kind of figured out that instead of having a baby herself, she was going to help God out. And so she conjured up the plan, you remember, with Hagar. You know all about that with Ishmael. And so here's the next point in Abram's life. Not only will perhaps God ask you to do something impractical, but now listen to me. God may ask you to do something impossible. Now, look what the Word of God says here in Hebrews chapter 11 again. The Bible says in verse number 11, through faith also, we're about Abram and Sarah here, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now, the Bible is very clear here in Hebrews chapter 11, and when you go back to Genesis, the Bible is very clear that Sarah physically could not have a child. I mean, on the human level, it was physically impossible for Sarah to conceive. We're adults here, and you understand the concept. There are only certain years in the life of a woman when she can physically reproduce. And Sarah was beyond that. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis, you'll find that the Bible says about Abram and Sarah both, they were well stricken in years. I mean, she is beyond the childbearing years. And when the three visitors came from heaven, when at about the 24-year point, when Abram was 99 and she was almost 90, when the heavenly visitors came and they announced again that within a year or so, you're going to have a baby, she laughed. And sometimes we jump on Sarah for laughing, but do you know what the Bible says? The Bible also says Abram laughed. They laughed. And really, on the human level, it's kind of funny. Can you imagine Abram for the second conversation? Going in and telling Sarah, "Sarah, I've got news for you, I've got news for you. These men, you heard it through the tent walls and the thin tent walls. You heard it, but I just want to announce to you that we're going to have a baby." Abram, are you nuts? Now, Abram knew that for years because God had already promised that his seed was going to be as great as the stars and the sand on the seashore. God, Abram already knew that. And I think Sarah was even aware of that. But in the back of their mind, Sarah is thinking perhaps it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you understand the concept of a woman paid perhaps every month. Abram would come to Sarah and say, "Sarah, are we having a baby? Are we having a baby?" And Sarah perhaps would say, "No, Abram, get that out of your mind." And perhaps next month, Abram would come to Sarah and say, "Sarah, are we? Are we? Abram, I told you no." And next month, "Are we? No. Are we? No. Are we? No." And if you add it all up, probably from the time that Abram was about 75, almost to the time he was 100, 25 years, that's about 300 months. I imagine there, just on the human level, just go with me in your brain there just for a minute. This may not be Bible college material here, but just go in your mind just for a second. Sarah perhaps said, "Abram, if you ask me that one more time." No, because, really, truthfully, think about it just for a moment. The Word of God indicates to us, physically, it was impossible for her to have a child. God may ask you to do something that on the human level seems so impossible. I could tell you story after story, and probably anybody who served the Lord for a good while could tell you story after story, and the men on the platform could also, of how God is still the God of the impossible. I mean, even in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, isn't the statement that, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Is there anything too hard for God? God can send you to the mission field. God can put you into the work of evangelism. God can enable you to pastor a church. God can allow you to find the husband that you need. God can give you the family that He wants you to have. God can provide all of your needs. God can supply for you. God can sustain you. God can strengthen you. And with God, nothing is impossible. In just a couple of months, my wife and I would have been married for 30 years. At about the 20-year mark, or about the 19-year mark, actually, of our marriage, we still had no children. And we wanted a child. I'll be quite honest with you, when Mother's Day, which will be in just a couple of weeks, when Mother's Day would roll around every year, my wife at the time of about 19 years at that time was not very excited about Mother's Day. It's not that she didn't appreciate the mothers that she knew and the ladies that she knew. Just for her, it was not a very enjoyable time. My wife's mother had died when my wife was a teenager. And so that was always difficult. And now, my wife and I both were the age of 40, been married for 19 years, and we had no child. At the time, I'd still been a youth pastor for all those years, and we loved children, we loved young people. I worked as a youth pastor and a children's pastor, and we worked with teenagers and children. We had actually come to the conclusion, "Lord, you know, if this is what you want, you simply want us to love on other people's children, that's okay, that's fine." You know, it was a difficult conclusion for us to draw that maybe perhaps this is what God wants for us. And then, can I tell you, it's about the time that we actually just kind of settled in that maybe this is God's plan for our life. That through a connection of someone in our ministry, we met a young lady who was expecting a baby, and she was going to give it up for adoption. And right here in the mountains of North Carolina. Long story short is a few months later, my wife and I were in the hospital room when this lady was giving birth to a baby that you now see as my son, Tyler. And he knows all about this. He's known this since he was born. What a remarkable story. And I never will forget the day in the hospital room when I was in the room there with my wife and I, and the doctors in there, and the nurses in there, and this lady giving birth, and they handed that little boy, who's not a little boy anymore, they handed him to me, and then I handed her this little baby off to my wife, and I remember seeing the tears flowing down the cheeks of my wife. God had used this precious young woman who knew that the best decision for her and her baby was to give that baby to us. And I watched on the face of my wife as the tears flowed down her, and she was so fulfilled and so excited and so filled with joy that God had done for what was us the impossible. And I don't know how God may work in your life, but I promise you, God may ask you to do something that on the human level is so impossible. But I promise you, if it's God that's leading you, there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. And then lastly, could I tell you this morning, and by the way, it happened in the life of Abram and Sarah. In just months later, there were the cries of a baby in Sarah's tent when she was 90 years old. God may ask you to do something that's impractical. God may ask you to do something that's impossible. And could I tell you lastly this morning, God may ask you to do something that's inconceivable. Now, here's the story of Abram, and we'll close. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see the most unusual story, and you know it well. The Bible says in verse number 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Can I just mention to you this morning this? What God asked Abram to do with his son Isaac on the human level is inconceivable. We don't even want to wrap our brain around that. We don't even want our thought process to go through that. That God was asking Abram to take his boy, a little perhaps older than my own son, and take him up on top of Mount Moriah and put a knife in his chest. We don't even want to go there in our mind. That is so inconceivable. Can you imagine the conversation that God had with Abram? God said, Abram, you know your son. Yes, God, I know my son. Yes, I do. Oh, God, I am so happy. Lord, I just never knew that it was going to be such a delight to be a daddy. I just never knew that. I never knew that a little boy that could grow up like this could bring so much joy into my... God, I want to thank you again. I praise you, God. Forgive him. God, yes, what do you want to mention to me, God? God told him what he wanted him to do. Now, we've been a little bit silly so far on a couple of stories with Abram and Sarah, but this was not a silly conversation the third time he came to Sarah. Now, I don't know when and if he told her. We go back to Genesis. The Bible's kind of silent on that. I don't know what Sarah knew at this point, not. But if perhaps Abram did tell Sarah, can you imagine that conversation? Can you imagine this mother of Isaac saying to her own husband, Abram, no! No! Abram, I followed you when we left home. Abram, I laughed, but then I believed God now that we have a son. But Abram, no, this is too far, Abram. This is too far. This is inconceivable. And yet, what does the Bible say? Abraham obeyed. He got up early in the morning. The Bible says here, the verse we read, that God was testing him. You know, God's going to test you. God's going to test you. And when you're tested, it's like being in a fire. And can I mention this to you? When God puts us in the oven of testing, I believe there's a direct relation between the amount of testing, the amount of the flame, and the amount of faith that God's trying to give you. I believe perhaps when God tests you a little, perhaps He's trying to give you a little faith. When God's trying to give you a lot of faith, He's going to test you in a greater way. In other words, a little flame, a little heat, a little fire, little faith. Big flame, big heat, big test, big faith. This is a big deal here. God, please, are you serious, God? God, you don't mean it, my son, my only son, Isaac. God, do you mean it, God? I can't imagine that Abram even slept that night. I can't imagine what was going through his brain as he walked up Mount Moriah, and he had the wood, and he had the fire, and he had the knife. And even Isaac said, Daddy, where's the lamb? Where's the God? Well, Daddy, where's the animal? Where's it at? And he had no idea at that time that he was the sacrifice. I think it's remarkable, by the way, the faith of that young man. At some point, his daddy had to put him on top of the altar. Now, I don't know, just think about this just physically. His daddy was an older man. And Isaac was a young teenager. I imagine, I'm not being silly, I imagine he could have run away from his daddy. So you think about the faith that he was on the life of Isaac to trust his daddy. But the bottom line is, the point is, God is asking Abraham to do something so inconceivable. There was a man and his wife in our church just a number of months ago who was a retired sergeant major in the Army. And God told him and his wife, pack up your stuff. I want you to go to Niagara Falls, New York. And I want you to pastor a church. And so about 7 months ago, they did. And our church had the privilege to send them. Niagara Falls, New York is an area, some of you perhaps have been there, but it's a dying area. It's not a place that you would necessarily just think, well, this is a fast-growing area. No, a lot of people are leaving there. And I don't know, I've lived down south all my life. I just know for one thing, up in that Buffalo, Niagara Falls, they get a lot of snow and it's cold, man. And I remember talking to Brother Rob, a retired sergeant major and just a leader of people. I said, Rob, are you sure this is what God wants you to do? He said, Preacher, I know this is what God wants me to do. And they packed up everything they had and they left. And then, another young couple in our church, just a few weeks ago, this man is an engineer, graduated with a degree, and has a very impressive job. He said, Preacher, God's told my wife and I, we're going to also go up there to New York and be helpers up there in that church. I said, Brother Lee, you've got a good job. And all. I said, Lee, and I wasn't doubting God by any means. I said, but Lee, I just want you to ask you, is this really what God wants you to do? To leave your cushy job and move everything? He said, Preacher, I'm sure about it. And last week, actually, where are we on Friday? On Monday of this week, 5 days ago, on Monday of this week, a man who's an engineer left all of that to go to New York and live by faith. Now, what's remarkable is God's provided a job for him up there. And there was a point in these individuals' lives where families were saying, are you sure? Are you sure? God may ask you to do something that is so inconceivable. Can you imagine as Abram stood on top of that mountain and his boy now is fastened onto the altar and he takes that knife and perhaps begins to come down and God stops him? What a remarkable story. Let me make a couple observations and I'm done. We've looked at the Scripture, but let me just make a couple observations. First of all, when God asks you for something, if you'll give it to Him, if He wants you to have it back, He'll give it to you. God was asking Abram to give him the most precious thing in his life. And Abram gave the most precious thing in his life to God. The Bible even says here in Hebrews chapter 11 that as far as God was concerned, Abram did offer Isaac. If God asks you for the most precious thing in your life, give it to Him. And if He wants you to have it back, He'll give it to you. And then secondly, can I make this? Abraham was going up Mount Moriah and thinking, what am I going to do? I can't believe God's asking me to do this. I trust God and I believe God, but this is just inconceivable. What am I going to do? And he's going up that little mountain. You realize on the other side of that mountain, God was working. Here comes Abram up that mountain. Here comes a ram up that mountain. You see, sometimes you can't see what God's doing on the other side of the mountain. All God wants you to do is take step after step after step and go up that mountain. And God's working on the other side of that mountain. Can I tell you, almost exactly a year ago, God took my wife home. She was 49 years of age. She spent 31 days in the hospital. My world stopped. And sometimes in the hospital, I spent every waking moment with her in the hospital. And sometimes I asked, God, are you sure about this? God, are you sure about this? God, is this what you want? And actually we thought she was getting better, and then suddenly she went into cardiac arrest. And on April 17th of a year ago, my wife at 49 years of age went to heaven. Can I tell you, walking up that mountain of grief and sorrow, sometimes I can't see it. Sometimes I could not see it. Sometimes I could not understand it. Sometimes I wondered, God, why are you doing this? It doesn't make sense to me. You have these thoughts go through your mind. God, there's so many other people in the world that are living ungodly lives. God, why is it that you're visiting grief, bringing grief and sorrow to my home? And yet while I walk up that mountain of faith, putting faith and trust in God, I promise you, on the other side of the mountain, God's at work. And you may not see it. You may not be able to comprehend it. But if you'll simply take the step of faith and climb that mountain of belief, I promise you, God is working and providing on the other side of the mountain. Can we have our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God may ask you to do something that is just impractical. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it? God may ask you to do something that humanly is impossible. Are you willing to do it? And then God may ask you to do something that everyone may think, you're crazy. You're crazy if you think God wants you to do that. And it may be so inconceivable. But as you begin your life of faith, I encourage you to do, we didn't even take time to look at it, I just closed, but if you'll look in all three of those stories, when Abram was asked by God to leave, what did he do? He obeyed. The Bible says by faith. By faith. When God told Abram and Sarah they were going to have a child, God gave them a child by faith. By faith. And when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac, what did Isaac do? He responded in faith. What do you do when God asks you to do this? What do you do when God asks you? You respond by faith. You respond in faith. Obey God. Obey God. And I promise you, God is at work. God's at work in your life. I have no idea how God may have spoken to any individual in this place this morning. And I hope I haven't come across as somebody who tries to know. I don't know. I don't know much of anything. I just know that God's concerned about you. And God wants you to trust Him. And God wants you to respond to Him in faith. Would you do that? Would you do that? I'm going to ask Brother Comfort to come, and we can have an invitation or not. That's up to Him and the Lord. But you just do what God wants you to do. Would you? For the rest of your life, walk by faith. Live by faith. And God never stops working on us. Praise God. For